Whether it was because the total damage was not that extensive, or because the event caused a cognitive overload, America shrugged off the attacks of September 11th. The dead were mourned, and a short war was fought, but the business of government and of business went on with remarkably little change. Despite the enormous cost to public and private coffers, $16.5 billion, the loss or relocation of 200,000 jobs, and the evaporation of scores of businesses on the morning of the attacks, the U.S. economy suffered no lasting damage. This was a surprise. First impressions suggested that such a powerful shock to such a complex economy might have caused a cascade of failures. Economists originally predicted a half-point drop in the nation's gross domestic product in 2001 and a 1.5% in 2002. They also forecast a weakening of international trade and a total cost to the United States by the end of 2003 of $500 billion. Policymakers deserve credit for preventing much of this from happening. The Federal Reserve acted quickly to make liquidity available, and the world's central banks reduced interest rates, which kept investment up and business moving. Congress delivered $40 billion in emergency spending and appropriated $15 billion in grants and loans for U.S. airlines, the industrial sector hit hardest by the disaster. Within 6 months, equities were back at their pre-attack levels, and consumer confidence was remarkably robust. Prolonged political wrangling over legislation that would federalize airport security personnel also showed that Congress, at least, did not view September 11th as a watershed. Traditional partisan concerns on both sides of the aisle about the size and role of the federal government were manipulated by air carrier and airport management lobbies to hamstring action on urgent legislation. A far-reaching bill was ultimately passed, but only after the political competition had played itself out. The new Homeland Security Agency is entangled in its own organization chart, even as its creation consumes the energy of officials who should be focused on the prospect of renewed attack. How this new agency will be funded, what precisely it will do, and whether it addresses the causes of America's vulnerability on September 11th, are questions being debated as though the war were on pause. In the meantime, bureaucratic rivalries are pursued as though nothing had happened. While Treasury and Justice Department officials in charge of finding and cutting off al-Qaeda's funding boycotted each other's meetings, they missed the transfer of bin Laden's assets from bank accounts into precious gems and metals. The Byzantine political and bureaucratic maneuvering that led to the establishment of the new Homeland Security Agency left untouched the key government departments, the FBI and the CIA, whose lapses contributed most to the success of the attacks. The FBI has since turned to its default response and pledged to hire 900 new agents, although staffing was not central to the Bureau's failures. The Bureau has also established an intelligence analysis center, which, like piling on new agents, does not address pre-September 11th problems. It does raise questions about what FBI representatives in the CIA's counterterrorism center have been doing until now, and whether a large, independent, analytical division at the FBI will contribute to or compete with existing structures. The CIA's response to criticism was to expand the counterterrorism center at Langley, but with no apparent idea of what new analysts would accomplish when the problem lies mainly in the realm of collection and dissemination rather than analysis.